Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here with Mike Morial.
I am here. I have had my coffee, and now I have some iced tea, so I am set to go, Adam. I am ready.
He is over-caffeinated, but we are here at the CHL Top Prospects game in Hamilton, Ontario. We get to meet all the top prospects for the CHL for this year's draft. Alexi Lafreniere, Quinton Byfield, all the top guys are here. It's fun getting to meet these guys.
Yeah, I mean, there are 16 different CHL teams represented here, 17 prospects from the O, 14 from the Western League, and 9 from the Q. So it's a lot of prospects. We have an opportunity to speak to a lot of them one-on-one, so we get to know them. Not only do we know them on the ice and what they're capable of doing, but just to get them to, you know them as people off the ice, what their life was like growing up. It's very, very interesting, and for us, it sheds another light on what the player is all about.
Now, a lot of these guys, they're in the top part of the Central Scouting midterm rankings, which came out the other day. Any surprises there? Obviously, you know, we all sort of assumed Alexi Lafreniere from Rimouski would be number one. He's number one on the North American skaters list. Tim Stutzel from Mannheim in Germany is number one on the international skaters list. Any surprises there as far as anybody in the top five, top ten that maybe you weren't expecting?
Well, I don't know, Adam. What do you think? I mean, Tim Stutzel going one in the international ranks. Now, he had a great World Juniors. There's no doubt about it. He missed the final two games in that relegation round, but he played five games, had five assists in that tournament, averaged a little over 18 minutes a game for Germany. He is one in the international midterm ranks, and he probably deserves there, but you know, there was so much talk about the two Swedes, Lucas Raymond and Alexander Holtz. So I think Stutzel does deserve to be one, but I think in some people's eyes, maybe it was a little bit of surprise there.
I talked to Goran Stube from NHL European Scouting, and he said the decision to put Stutzel at number one was made well before the World Juniors. So they were impressed with him at the November tournament, the Four Nations tournament. They thought he was a dominant player then. He's been an outstanding player as a 17-year-old against men in the German league, which is an improving league. It separated him, and Goran said it was an easier decision to make number one than it was to decide Raymond versus Holtz, two versus three. The decision on Raymond was just a more complete player. Holtz has that dynamic shot, but Raymond is seen as a more complete player. But 2-3, you could, in another month, we could be talking flipped.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The top North American goalie, Nicholas Dawes, of course, and the top international goalie being Yaroslav Askarov. So, both those goalies, I think, are deserving of where they are. Going back to the North American skaters a bit, I think, seeing Marco Rossi, a player who's been exceptional in the first half for the 67s this year, seeing him at number five was a bit of a, wow, Marco Rossi, here's a player from Austria, possibly could be, Adam, the top Austrian-born, highest drafted ever. So it was nice to see him there. Some different names on the list, like a Jack Quinn from Ottawa as well. You got two teammates that could possibly go top 10 in the draft. So interesting in that light, too.
Yeah, Mike, I really like Marco Rossi also. Even though he's undersized, he's got a dynamic offensive quality, a presence to him. He could be the highest drafted Austrian-born player ever. Thomas Vanek, number five in 2003 to Buffalo, is the mark. Marco Rossi could pass that. He's number five on the list. Alexi Lafreniere is number one. We're going to hear from him later. Number two on the list is Quinton Byfield, recent gold medalist for Canada from the World Juniors. Mike and I had the chance to sit with the center from Sudbury.
Quinton, the NHL has certainly played a big role in creating a more diverse game, sharing top honors as players of color to be chosen in the NHL draft. Evander Kane, number four, to the Atlanta Thrashers in 2009. Seth Jones, number four, to the Predators in 2013. What would it mean to you to be selected among the top three and become the highest drafted player of color?
That would definitely be something special. You know, being just top for something is really cool. And then, being top pick for a color person would be definitely something cool. I think the game is changing. They're trying to add more diversity, as you said earlier. And so, I think that would get kids motivated kind of to start playing hockey and know that they can play and kind of just get along and everyone, like, the game's for everyone.
That's a great point. Yeah. I mean, for the kids, knowing that they can make it, they can be as good a player as you or Seth Jones or Evander Kane. what type of responsibility do you feel comes with that role and possibly being selected that high?
Yeah, you know, the responsibility I think that comes with is just being a kind of a good role model, someone they can just look up to, some just like a respectful guy, you know, that just goes in, plays his best, you know, in and out, kind of just always motivated to do something, always to just have like a good game or something, be consistent. So I think there's a lot of stuff that they can definitely take off of me, kind of. I'm just trying to be a good role model for them and just pave a path for them.
You'd like to be a role model for the next generation of players of color. Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, did you have any role models that you could look to, players of color?
Yeah, definitely. Just Subban, Evander Kane, you know, just a couple of the top line guys there. You know, Subban, when he was in Montreal, he was just really good. Just not just on the ice, off the ice, you know, he was always donating to charity or doing something for a good cause. He's kind of a out there guy, so it's definitely fun to see. You know, he's a fun guy, just living how he wants, kind of like. So yeah, I think he was definitely one of the big ones up there for sure.
Yeah, the charity is a big thing with PK. But mm-hmm. Let's shift gears a little bit. I'm hoping the jet lag from World Juniors has worn off by now. Yeah. You know, 10 or 12 days in Czech Republic, you get to come home with a gold medal. Has it sunk in that you're a world junior champion, and what does that feel like?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something really special. You know, I played the U-17s, U-18s, and now the world juniors kind of almost within a year. So there's definitely a big stepping stones going up. You know, I'm playing against the best players, not just my age, but like a year or two older than me. So it was really good hockey, high-end pace, and just how we won in the finals, just a good old-fashioned comeback, I guess, to win the medal. So just the drama in that game was crazy. So that was just a special game to be a part of. And then I don't know if it's really sunk in how great it is. Not everybody has a gold medal, and, you know, just winning on the world stage like that is something super special. So it definitely takes time. You always just celebrating it. So, yeah.
What was it like playing with Alexis Lafreniere? I mean, obviously you guys are good friends now. You got to know each other at the juniors. And how is your game different, Quinton, than Alexis?
Yeah, he's an exceptional player. I'm just seeing him over there. He's not just kind of a skill guy. You know, he's kind of an energy guy as well. Always first shift, you go out there and just run a guy. Definitely get the bench going, get everyone into the game like that. So just the stuff he does, he's just an all-around good player. So I think the stuff that really separates us, I guess, is I'm kind of a two-way center with good speed. I think that's really my keys to my game. And he's kind of just power forward, I guess. Really offensive, really offensively gifted. You know, he's just exceptional over there. So I think those are just a couple things that really separate us there.
With the World Juniors, obviously you're used to being a top-line guy, power play. Mm-hmm. The playing time was a lot different for you at the World Juniors. How was that as an adjustment to being able to, when you were able to get in, do the things that make you successful, while at the same time still trying to be a good teammate, while maybe it was a different role for you? How difficult was that to adjust to?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't too difficult. You know, just playing, getting the opportunity as a 17-year-old to play for your country at the World Juniors is something special. So they did give me opportunities at time and all that. So I was always ready on the bench, ready to play. So I was just really happy to be there. Just got the opportunity, as I said, just to play was something I really appreciated, and just the honor. So that wasn't really too hard of an adjustment for me. You know, I still came home with the gold like everyone else. So that's all that really mattered for me.
So I know right now hockey is such a big part of your life, but what are the things you do outside of hockey that have your interests? Are you another Fortnite guy, or what's the deal with a lot of video games? What does Quinton Byfield do?
Yeah, no, I used to be a big gamer, actually, but before I came to the OHL, but then, you know, you don't really have too much time to be playing that. You're always on the road or doing something with your team. So right now I kind of just like hanging out with the boys and, you know, just doing that stuff. Just like we'll go catch a movie. We went laser tagging a couple times, so just fun things like that, fun little competitive games like that. I just love to do with them.
So we've talked a lot about Alexi and you together, mm-hmm. and Alexi's number one on the Central Scouting rankings, but it's only January. There's a lot mm-hmm. of hockey to be played. There's still a chance you could still be the number one pick. What would it mean to you to be possibly the number one pick in an NHL draft? Obviously, you've had the experience. You were the number one pick in the OHL draft. NHL draft obviously is different, but what would that mean to you?
I know that would be definitely something mean a lot to me. You know, you kind of worked your whole life to be the best player that you can be, and just getting the opportunity to just be drafted, something that you dream of as a kid, and then just going one and hearing your name get called there, that'd be something special. You know, all the time that like you've missed, you know, kind of hanging out with your friends, you're just at the gym working away. So that would all mean like something, mean a lot to me.
If an NHL GM was sitting in that chair next to us, mm-hmm. and said, why should I take Quentin Byfield with the number one pick in the draft? Yeah. What's your answer?
I'd probably say good character off the ice. You know, get a good gel guy in the room, I guess. You know, just on the ice, I'd definitely bring a dynamic to the game. I'm a big centerman. There's not too many of those big centermen with speed. So that play 200-foot game. So I kind of have a lot of tools that I can offer to an NHL team.
So, Quinn, you got to help me out here. So you're a big power forward. Mm-hmm. You wear number 55 because of Sergei Gonchar,
yeah.
a 20-year defenseman in the NHL, is now an assistant with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you have mentioned that your favorite NHL player to watch is Cale Makar,
yeah.
another defenseman.
Yeah.
So what gives here, man?
I don't know. I might just have to go back to defense. No. Just when I was growing up, I used to play D for a bit until I was 7 or 8. So I was always just a big Pittsburgh fan. Sergei Gonchar was my guy, so that's why I wear 55. And then I just love watching Cale Makar this year and last year. He's just exceptional in the playoffs. Last year where he scored his goal, I thought that was sick. And then just the plays he's making at the speed he's going is just unreal. And he's still just a rookie, so that's definitely something cool to watch.
So that leads me into next question. You're gonna be a guy who competes for the Calder Trophy next year. You get a pick this year. There's a lot of good rookies out there. Who's your pick for the Calder Trophy?
I'll have to go with Cale Makar because I just talked about him a lot. But I think Quinn Hughes is definitely up there as well. You know, they're two both dynamic defensemen, both offensively defensemen like that are really gifted. I think just the skating ability that they offer to the game and everything. And they're not just offensive; they can play a defensive game as well, really good. And then Makar, you know, his team's doing really well this year too. So I think they definitely have a chance to go far in playoffs. So I think he's definitely a big part to that team as well.
When you watch those players and watching the NHL and what's been going on, what do you feel are the most important assets or qualities a player needs to have to be a regular in a lineup in the NHL?
You know, I think there's a lot of roles that you can play in the NHL. You know, I think you just have to know what you bring to a team, kind of, and you just have to own that. You know, not everyone can be a top six forward, so I think you just have to really know your role and play as best as you can and just try to be the best that you can at that role. So I think it's really, as I just said, you just have to know your role, and then I think you'll be a regular for sure.
I'm curious, you've talked a lot about the defenseman that you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to play defense in the NHL.
Yeah.
Are there forwards when you watch games at the next level that you look to, that you try to pattern your game after?
Yeah, I think I've drawn a lot of comparisons to Evgeny Malkin, so that's just a compliment to my game, and just the stature of that guy, how you know, how gifted he is offensively for a big guy. So I think the most similarities are to Evgeny Malkin, so I'll have to go with him. I watch him quite a bit.
Pretty good choice. Yeah. Quentin, thank you for coming on NHL Draft Class with us today.
All right, thank you.
So, Mike, Quentin Byfield compares himself to Evgeny Malkin. Apt comparison?
Yeah, I think so. You know, back checks hard. You know, he's got the real soft hands and tight quarters. You know, and obviously he has that physicality about his game. And you watch Evgeny Malkin, that's the type of game he plays, that two-way physical type dimension that he has to his game. I think Quentin Byfield is in that same realm. I like the comparisons, too, that he made with himself and Lafreniere when we asked him about what are the differences and similarities there.
Well, yeah, you can watch the way they play where Byfield's just more of a straight-ahead, power-forward center. Lafreniere's maybe a little bit more dynamic elements to his game. But, you know, I remember talking to Dan Marr from NHL Central Scouting. When he watched Byfield, he saw a little bit of Mark Scheifele, a little bit of Austin Matthews. So you take that, Malkin, Matthews, Scheifele, what do they all have in common? They're all big, strong franchise centers. Quentin Byfield projects to be a big, strong franchise center for whatever NHL team is lucky enough to draft him.
And I think, you know, a lot of people look at his experience at the World Juniors, just the fact that he was able to make that team too, right? And we know how difficult it is for a 17, 18-year-old kid to make Team Canada, no less,
right,
at the World Juniors. So Byfield was able to make that team. And yes, he didn't play much in that final game, but he did average a little over 8 minutes, had an impact when he was in there. You know, obviously next year will be a big year for him at World Juniors if he's able to go back and represent his country again, and I'm sure that's something he wants to do. But for now, this is a top-level elite prospect. I think there's no question he's probably going to go top three, top four in this draft, and he could go two.
Yeah, my guess is he goes number two. We'll talk about the mock drafts that we did a little bit later, but I think no matter how much he played, he still got that gold medal, and he got in the games, and maybe he didn't play in the championship game, but it wasn't because he wasn't skilled enough or, you know, able to play. It's just that they're older, more talented guys, and that's who the coaching staff went with.
Yeah, that's who they went with. And again, it's with Byfield, we see a player here, big, strong, has that savvy about him, knows what he needs to do to be successful, and particularly knows what he needs to do at the next level. So it's something that I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here down the road for Quentin Byfield.
Absolutely, Mike. Quentin Byfield, number two on the list. But the player most expected to go number one is Alexi Lafreniere. And Mike and I had the chance to chat with the Rimouski Center and the MVP of the World Junior Championship. Alexi, let's start with the World Juniors. What were your expectations going into the tournament? And did you meet them, exceed them? How would you rate, you know, your performance out there? We all watched it on TV, but what would you say about it?
You know, for sure my expectations, I wanted to have a bigger role. I wanted to be a leader for the team, and for sure I wanted to win gold, and you know, we did it. So for sure my expectation got you know, I'm pretty happy with that, and you know, the way it ends, it's really really fun for me.
I think for a lot of people, the way you played physically was something that a lot of your teammates obviously appreciated, and the fans watching you appreciated too. How do you think that physical component that you're adding into your game, you know, helps your game and helps your team in that regard?
For sure, I always wanted to, you know, be involved physically in those kind of games, especially you know, it's big games, and you know, especially early on. You know, you want the momentum for sure, and I think a couple good hits can bring momentum to your side, and that's what I tried to do over there. And you know, it's a part of my game that you know, I'm trying to improve for sure.
Everybody remembers how the World Juniors ended for you with the MVP and the gold medal, but I want to go back to the game against Russia. Can you take us through what happened with the injury, what you felt in the moment, and was there ever a thought that maybe you wouldn't be able to come back? Because, you know, I haven't heard you talk about the injury and how it all came together and how you were able to come back and play the way you did the rest of the way.
Yeah, it was a day-to-day injury, and we really didn't know if I was going to be able to come back. And, you know, on the moment, it was hurting pretty bad, so we didn't know. And you know, after when the next day I was feeling good, and the other day after too. So when I came back on the ice, my knee was feeling fine, and you know, it was for me, it was for sure I was gonna come back if my knee was good.
Were you surprised that it felt as good as it did the next day?
Yeah, for sure. I you know, the first day it hurts pretty bad, so I didn't know that, you know, next day was pretty good. I was able to walk on it, so it was nice for me, and I was really happy with that.
So you go down in that game against Russia early in the game. You come back a few games later, and then in the gold medal game, you have a chance to play against Russia again and get it back. I mean, how gratifying was that for you to not only help your team win, spark them to the win, but then to do what you did when you came back from the injury, get the 6 points, earn MVP, and at the end of the game, I saw you with the Canadian flag draped on your back. I mean, that must have been a real special moment for you personally.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, you always, growing up, you always watch World Juniors, and, you know, it's, you dream as a kid to be there one day. And, you know, when I was on the ice after we won gold, it was pretty special. You know, it was a dream that you know, came true, and you know, it was such a nice moment to share with all of the other boys.
So just recently, Central Scouting released its midterm rankings. You were the number one ranked North American skater. Everyone seems to be thinking you're the favorite to be the number one pick in June. Has it set in? What do you think? You know, has it kind of entered your mind that you could be the number one pick in the draft?
I don't think that much about it. For sure, there's really good players in the draft. So, you know, there's always good players around the world. And, you know, personally, I really tried to focus on my season with Rimouski and for sure help the team win as much game as we can and, you know, try to win a cup in playoff for sure.
But what would it mean to you to be number one? Obviously, I mean, you were number one pick in the Q draft, so it's something you've experienced before. The NHL draft's a little different, but what would it mean to you personally if that's to happen?
It would mean a lot for sure. It's always you dream to get drafted in the NHL growing up, and you know, to go high. It's you as a player, you always want to go as high as you can. So it would be really special.
How do you feel you're different than Quinton Byfield? I mean, we had Quinton in here earlier discussing your play. You know, he said some things. He enjoys the way you play as a playmaker. He considers you a power forward. How do you think your game differs from Quinton's?
First of all, he's a centerman, so that's a difference. And, you know, he's a big guy. You know, he's a real fast skater. I think we're both offensive player. But, you know, the fact that he's a centerman, it's different, you know, position-wise. And, you know, for sure it's harder to compare a centerman to a winger. So, you know, he's really a good player, and I've enjoyed practicing with him over there, and I was able to see how good he is.
You mentioned Rimouski and the great season you're having there. I think the last guy from Rimouski to be a number one pick in the draft, we all know who that was, Sidney Crosby. Do you pay attention to him at all any extra more than you would an NHL player just because of that shared Rimouski, you know, heritage, so to speak? Or do you watch any of his Rimouski tapes just to see what it was like when he played there?
I've always watched him growing up, so it's no different because I play in Rimouski that I watch him more. I think growing up I've always watched him a lot. You know, he was an idol growing up, so you know, for sure I still watch him. Still one of the best players in the world, so it's always still fun to watch him and you know, to learn from him.
So we all know how fun it is to watch Alexi Lafreniere on the ice. What do you do for fun off the ice? What do you like to do? Are you a video gamer? Do you do anything else with friends? What's it like off the ice?
Yeah, sometimes we play a bit of video games with my friends, or, you know, during summer just play tennis and stuff like that. Just you know, get off the ice and you know, just chill with the boys and you know, hang out with my friends. And you know, it's always fun. Sometimes go out for dinner and stuff like that. Just having fun with the boys. That's what I like to do.
I have an 11-year-old son. He's a big-time video gamer. He's big into Fortnite. Is that your game, or what's your go-to video game, either with yourself or with the boys?
Probably NHL. Yeah. NHL 20 is pretty fun. We play a lot of this game. You know, we played Fortnite a little bit, but I'm not really good at it, so I'll stay to NHL.
What team do you use in NHL?
It depends. You know, I love we have a team, like the thing we play, it's like called ESHL, so we all control one player and we create a team, so it's not a real NHL team.
Now the Quebec teams are yeah, the Quebec League. Yeah. Do you ever play Rimouski?
Yeah, I tried tried one time, and you know, it's always fun to play with all my teammates on my PS4. It's weird, but it's funny.
So I read that you do have maybe at least one superstition as far as the skates go, putting on the left before the right. Is that true, and why so?
Yeah, I always put my left skate first and tie my left skate first. I just always been doing it, so I never changed it, and you know, it's probably my only superstition. So
now, we mentioned the off-ice stuff. I read somewhere you were a baseball player. Yep. Growing up. Do you still play today, or how far did you get?
I don't play much today, but I was playing a lot during the summer when I grew up, and I had to stop maybe at like 13 years old because had to choose between hockey and baseball. So yeah, it was hard for me to stop the first couple years, but you know, it's the right choice.
Well, clearly, I think you made the right decision. It's worked out okay for you so far. But what was your position in baseball?
I was playing shortstop.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How good of a hitter were you?
I was pretty good. I was hitting usually like second or third. So.
Can you still play in the summer, you know, like pickup leagues or whatever in the offseason?
Yeah, sometimes we go to the, you know, baseball field with my friends and we play a little bit, but, you know, I'm not that good now, so.
I know you're a big Patrick Kane fan. What was the most, you know, when you think of moments in hockey history, what was the one moment regarding Patrick Kane that kind of sticks in your mind?
When he scored the OT winner in against Philadelphia, that's a big moment. I think you know, he's my, growing up, he was my biggest role model, and this goal was sometimes, you know, I've watched it you know, a couple times, and it's still, when I watch it, it's always always fun to watch.
Have you ever gotten to meet Patrick Kane? Or
no, I didn't. No, I never meet him, but it would be a big honor.
What do you like about his game? What's special about it that, you know, you try maybe to emulate into your game?
Just his creativity on the ice. You know, the offensively with the puck, he's just so good to create plays or even to score goals. So, you know, just the way he plays with the puck, it's fun to watch.
So nobody gets to where you've gotten to by yourself. Your parents, your family had a big influence on you. How have they helped you get to be where you are and to be who you are?
They always, you know, they always been there for me, you know, supporting me. And growing up, they've made a lot of sacrifice for sure, you know, for me in my young career. So they've been really big for me. And, you know, all the sacrifice they made, I can't thank them enough.
Thank you for coming on with us in NHL Draft Class, Alexi.
Thank you very much.
Alexi Lafreniere, very gracious with his time. He's the clear-cut number one, and number one on our mock drafts as well. And to talk about our mock drafts, we're going to bring in our colleague, Melanosh.com, Guillaume Lepage. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, when we did our mock drafts, we were all in agreement that Alexi's going to go number one. Number two is where things sort of started to go a little different paths. You and I were in agreement, G, Quentin Byfield was number two. What is it about Byfield that put him in that spot?
I think he's the complete package. You know, he's a big power forward. He can skate. He has a good vision. Maybe he didn't have the best World Junior performance if you compare with Tim Stutzel, who was outstanding for Germany. But he's only 17 years old. He was learning, so he didn't have much responsibilities. But I think... if we put that aside, Quinton Byfield's the type of player that every team wants.
Now, Mike, you went with Tim Stutzel from Mannheim in Germany at number two spot. What was it that put him ahead of the Byfield there?
I think we're all in agreement that Tim Stutzel was going to be one of the impact players for Germany at the World Juniors. And I don't want to make this into a one-tournament thing, but I liked what Stutzel was able to bring to Germany. The vision, the puck handling, the skills, the compete that you saw. And the other thing I like about Stutzel, Adam, is the swagger in his game. You know, he's not intimidated by anyone. Yes, he's an 18-year-old player playing in a 19-year-old tournament. But the fact of the matter is, I thought he was just dynamite, not only for his team, but I thought he stood out for the entire Group B section, which was outstanding, an outstanding group. So I like what Stutzel was able to bring. He plays for Mannheim in Germany, a real quality program there. Obviously, Moritz Seider, who also played for Germany, is from the Mannheim program, Detroit Red Wings pick of a year ago. So I like what Stutzel brings to the game, and I like him as the second overall choice in this draft.
Ottawa's number three. Number four, though, kind of stands out to me because we all went in different directions. I said Jamie Drysdale for the Anaheim Ducks in that spot. I think just right player, right team. Drysdale's the best defenseman available. Massive offensively skilled. Big and strong enough to play defensively. He plays the game the way the game is played at the NHL level now, where he's constantly going forward. I think they could use a player like him in their system. Mike, you like Marco Rossi for that spot. What is it about Marco?
Yes, I liked Rossi a lot. I know that he has that fast pace about his game. He's a real skilled player. And right now he's leading the OHL in points, which is amazing, his second full season in the Ontario Hockey League. Great IQ, great hands. And I just like him in this spot. I think Anaheim would certainly use a player of this caliber in their lineup. He could eventually be playing a top six role for the Ducks. And I just like the upside, too. This kid hasn't even reached his ceiling yet. And with proper development and grooming, I think he's going to be an impact player in the NHL in 4 to 5 years. But I know, Guillaume, you had Lucas Raymond from Sweden with the number four overall selection.
Yeah, I think he's the one of the most complete players of this draft. He can do everything on the ice. He plays well offensively and he's really reliable defensively. We saw him at the World Junior. He had a great tournament. So I think, yes, at number four, I had to go with one of the Swedes. So Lucas Raymond was my choice over Alexander Holtz, who might be a great goal scorer, but maybe not as complete as Raymond.
Now, Los Angeles is in our mock draft, Los Angeles is number five, the Montreal Canadiens at number six. Number seven, we see the Ottawa Senators again with the pick they got from the Sharks in the Erik Karlsson trade. For me, Yaroslav Askarov is the guy. We haven't had a goalie pick this high in, since Carey Price in 2005. But I think if you're in Ottawa's spot, they're in the midst of that rebuild. You need a goalie. You need a goalie that you can build around. They really don't have a top-end prospect in their system. Craig Anderson obviously isn't going to be there when they're hoped to be good again. Askarov, you know, maybe didn't have the greatest World Juniors. Maybe he looked a little shaky. But every scout that you talk to raves about him, says he's the best draft prospect goalie since Carey Price. Mike, you're with me there on Askarov, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, Askarov is an intimidating presence in the net. He's got that quick glove. And the thing that I keep going back to is something that Craig Button told us in a previous podcast on NHL Draft Class, Adam, and that was, you know, six international tournaments, and he's a top three finish all six times. So Askarov is a winner wherever he's played. And you need a goaltender in today's game to get to where you want to go. And with proper development, I think Askarov is going to be one of those players that will play 15, 20 years and be a dominant player. And Guillaume, you went with Anton Lundell in Finland.
Yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, we had Jesperi Kotkaniemi at number three. He had a pretty good solid season in the Liga in Finland. Lundell is having a pretty similar season this year. I know he was hurt for like 6 weeks, but when he came back, he was an impactful player. So I think that the way he plays the game, he's a complete centerman. So I know that the Senators might be going for a goalie because it's a really important position. But I like Lundell a lot, the way what he brings to his team. So I went with Lundell there at number six.
So we got Chicago at eight, Buffalo at nine, Minnesota at 10. Any of the guys that you had slotted into any of those spots, who if anybody jumps out to you, Mike, or G, you know, anybody that you kind of really like in your spot there?
Dylan Holloway is one of the players I liked a lot. I discovered him at the selection camp for Canada. I think he was really good against U Sports All-Star. He was playing against guys that were 23 years old, 24 years old, and he didn't look out of place. He was really physical, good skater, so I really liked him at number nine for the Sabres.
Yeah, I liked Holloway a lot, too, G. You know, he plays at the University of Wisconsin, and he actually rooms with Alex Turcotte, who played with the National Team Development Program at Wisconsin. So he's got a guy he can, you know, lean on as far as what the draft is all about. So that's an interesting theme there, too. But for me, I liked, you know, it's curious, guys. I'm curious where, Jamie Drysdale is going to go in this draft as, you know, one of the best defensemen here. I have him going number 10 to the Minnesota Wild, but I think he can go anywhere in that range from 3 through 10. I do feel strongly that he is the best defenseman here. Right-handed shot, capable of driving play with his skating, and he's a real elite player. So Jamie Drysdale is one of the players that I'm really curious where he's going to wind up down the road.
You know, I had Drysdale going at number four, but for me it's Marco Rossi. You know, I look at the Buffalo Sabres, and if you think about it, you could stack Jack Eichel, Marco Rossi, Casey Mittelstadt. You know, we forget about Casey because he struggled this season. He's in the American League now, but he's looks like he's discovering his game back again in Rochester. But those three kind of dynamic centers, that's a foundational piece for a team that's looking to get back to the playoffs. Rossi, he's so competitive. You know, I think that he's so competitive the size becomes a non-factor. And, you know, they've had success with Austrian-born players in Buffalo in the past, so I really like Marco Rossi in that spot.
Yes, I agree, Adam. Rossi could be that guy at center for the Sabres, but Holloway can bring size to that center line with Eichel and middle stats, so I really think that Holloway could be a really good option for the Sabres at number nine.
Gee, that's great insight. That's why we like having you on NHL Draft Class. Thank you for coming on with us today.
Thanks to you.
This is our first mock draft. We'll do many more before we get to Montreal in June. You can find it on NHL.com. But Mike, this has been a fun few days here for us up at the Top Prospects game in Hamilton.
Yeah, it's been outstanding. I mean, to get an opportunity to talk to a lot of these guys that we'll see in the NHL, and we hope, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now after they're drafted in June, it's a great opportunity. And to have a chance to talk to Byfield and Lafreniere here today was outstanding. Two real good gentlemen off the ice. We've got to know them really well, and it was special.
It has been great up here. Hamilton has been a wonderful host. Like the venue, like the hotel we're staying in, like the arena. If you like the show, if you like the NHL Draft Class, please rate and review 5 stars, hopefully. From Mike Morial.
Always a pleasure, Adam.
I am Adam Kimmelman. Until next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.